Would you all take your Bibles now, please, and go with me to Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 8. Where's Amos? Well, Hosea. Go to the first minor prophet. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Okay? We're bringing a message on the greatest famine in our land tonight. And we want to bring a message from Amos 4 and verse 11 along this line. Okay, y'all have it? I gave you plenty of time to find it. All right. Look at verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Our dear Father, tonight, how we ask for the Holy Spirit to take the power of your word and do something very special in our lives as individuals. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Many years ago, I was in the country of India for 3 weeks preaching. I lost 15 pounds less than I weigh now. Why? Because I had rice and hot curry for breakfast. Rice and hot curry for lunch. Rice and hot curry for supper. When I got home to South Carolina, I told Sharon, rice is outlawed from this house for one whole year. No rice. You know, it's pathetic. I mean, it is so touching. You cannot appreciate this. You've got to see it. It's hard to believe what I saw. If this Bible represents the land space of America, cut it in half, then put 1.5 billion people plus 2 billion cattle. You see, they will not kill the cattle. They worship the cow. And so therefore, all you see are people and cattle. I saw people in India because they cannot produce the food to support this massive amount of humanity. I saw people so skinny. It seemed like it was like skin stretched over a broomstick. I mean nothing but just bones and skin. We saw people over there as they were dying, lying on the street, dying. You know, I was over in Kenya, Africa 2 years ago. Boy, I tell you right now, this is very touching. You know, you go to these foreign fields. Did you know that in certain parts of Africa, there was a big drought over there, and people were dying by the thousands because they had no water? However, the Word of God tells you the greatest famine really is not a lack of bread nor a thirst for water. The Bible tells you the greatest famine on the face of the earth is the hearing of the Word of the Lord. This book is a closed book in the lives of millions and millions of God's people and the world. And tonight, there's a famine in our nation. But how could you tell if there's a famine? Well, what are the obvious signs when a little child is starving or an adult is starving to death? If you've ever seen the little children from Ethiopia or the adults, you will notice these are the signs when a person is starving to death. Their stomach is bloated. The eyes are sunk in the back of the head. And the bodies are just skin and bones. They're at the point of dying. It's very obvious. Now, you know something? How could we tell in the spiritual realm if there's a famine in your life? Huh? Well, you look nice tonight. But how can we tell if there's a famine in your life as a child of God, spiritually speaking? Well, first of all, there's a famine in our lives when there's a lack of spiritual developments. The Word of God tells you in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. A little baby must have the milk. That's how the baby will grow, mature, and develop. When the baby does not have the milk, that will never take place. The same is true in the spiritual realm. The way you, as a child of God, will grow, mature, develop, is by the intake of the Word of God within your life. But today, the shocking truth, and this is the statistics that I was shocked when I read, that only 17% of Christians read the Bible on a daily, regular basis. That survey went on, and this is even worse. Many Christians only read the Bible once a month. Now, my friend, if Sharon were here on the front row, she would tell you what happens to me when I don't have food in my body. Two things happen to me, Pastor, when I don't have food in my body. One, I get very, very irritable. Number two, I get very weak. Sharon can tell you this, I can be so weak I can hardly pick up the fork. There's no exaggeration. I can pick up, she's got a loving meal, I'll take a few bites of the food, and automatically I get my energy back. You know why? Well, food is my source of physical nourishment. That's why I get my energy. That's why I get my stamina, so I can stand here and I can project. Okay? Same with you. Your source of spiritual energy, spiritual stamina, is by you feasting on the Word of God. The Bible tells you in Psalm 119, 1 and verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law is my meditation all the day." Is this the thing that's on you, on your life all day long? Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." I'm telling you what, child of God, there's a famine in our lives when there's a lack of spiritual development. We're neglecting the Word of God. But number two, there's a famine in our lives when there's a lack of spiritual discipline. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says, "Wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, I call thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know why you struggle with sin in your life, child of God? And we all do that. But you want another reason why we struggle with sin in our lives? It's because we have failed to realize the way that we have a disciplined life is by the using of the Word of God as our authority when we have to deal with sin. For example, the Word of God tells you, which we all struggle with a variety. The list is too long. We can't mention one by one the different sins. However, listen what the Bible puts it, okay? Colossians 3:5, "Mortify therefore the members which are on your earth and your body, fornication, uncleanness, unaffection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." You know, God named that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God." So God says there are things you have to deal with. You've got to mortify. That word mortify means to kill. And cleanse means to make a complete break. Look, child of God, the Bible tells you in Romans 8:6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." If your mind is set on the flesh, then you are always given to sin. When you've got a mind set on the things of God, God can help you as an individual get victory over the sin that you battle with. I'm grateful that Lord Jesus Christ The Bible says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with mine, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin, my members. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. And so I thank God tonight that I have His Word. You know what? This book right here, it's been laid out the commandments that God wants you to know. His commandments are very clear. His precepts are precise. His statutes are correct. His ways are always the right way to go. And so, child of God, we need to realize something. We've got to deal with this sin in our lives. If we don't, it's going to destroy us. You hear me? That's why the Bible tells us in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I'm telling you what, congregation, you've got the greatest means of overcoming the temptations of sin that you're encountering all the time. But there's a famine in your life when there's a lack of spiritual discipline. But also, there's a famine, third of all, in our lives when there's a lack of spiritual direction. You know, it's interesting how when you talk to people, you find that this is almost like they've never heard of this. I met a man today from Italy where I'm staying in a motel. I've been a couple of days ago and I've been trying to just befriend this guy because he's from I love Italy and I got a good friend that was my song leader in South Carolina from Italy, from Sicily, Italy. His last name was Scaliglione. Now, wasn't it a wonderful combination for pastor and song leader, Savinsky and Scaliglione? Yes, and so I've been talking, and so the night I saw this man, and I said to him, I said, well, you know, he said, what do I do? And I said, well, I'm an evangelist. I go around America telling people that God gave His Son who died for their sins. He said, what? He never heard that. And there is a famine nationwide. People have no idea that this book will give them direction, point them to Christ. You know, in the Bible, there's a man one day who was reading the Word of God. It's amazing that the Bible records in detail about this man. In Acts 8, this man was the Ethiopian eunuch. He was in charge of all the wealth of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. In other words, he was a top dog. This guy had a high position. And the Word of God says he went to Jerusalem to worship God. He came back home, and as he came back, he's standing in a chariot, reading the Bible out loud. Now, you don't find people doing that today in America. Oh, they'll read sex magazines out loud, and they'll do other things out loud, but they won't stand up in the car and say, well, I want to read the book of Isaiah out loud. And he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And the man of God, Philip, said in Acts 8, understandest thou what thou readest? And this man, such a famine in his life, he said in Acts 8:31, how can I, except some man should guide me? Well, thank God for the honesty of this man. He was reading, he could not understand Isaiah. And the Word of God says in Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. One man who couldn't understand the Word of God, this man took it, explained to him, and pointed him to Jesus Christ. I wonder, now I'm not asking if you are a church member or or if you've been baptized, I'm asking, have you ever had anyone open the Word of God and personally sit down with you and point you to Jesus Christ? I can say before you as a congregation, I thank God for a man named Doug Rutherford who left Lapeer, Michigan to come to West Virginia and reach the coal miners for Jesus Christ. And one day that man of God reached our family. And now I thank God for this man. Where would I be if Doug Rutherford had not come to West Virginia? Sold vacuum cleaners to put food on the table for his family. Reached our family. Reached me. One night took the Bible. And I tried to read this Bible one time. And I didn't understand anything I read. But he took the Word of God and he pointed me, right? And showed me how I could receive Christ. Just like this Philip. He took the Bible and he showed this man in Acts 8:35. Then he opened the Scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. He said, this is all about Christ. He died for you. He wants to save you. Give you life everlasting. That's what he was saying to this man. And this man got saved. Why? His life was in a famine. He had no spiritual direction. And that man of God led him to Jesus Christ like a man of God, Doug Rutherford, led me to Christ one night. Well, I'm so grateful tonight. I'm so grateful that the famine does not have to stay in your life if you're unsaved. But you can have someone open the Word of God and point you to Jesus Christ. Now, Christian, I want to tell you something this evening. I do not know your spiritual temperature. I never come up here and try to rant and rave and rail on God's people. I never want to do that. I want to preach straight, direct to you and tell you this. There is a famine in your life if there's a lack of spiritual development. If you are easily offended, if you're very irritable. Oh, you're very irritable. You know what your problem is, man or lady? And I said this to you very kindly. Your problem is you're lacking the spiritual food for your life. And the reason why you're up and down like a yo-yo. And again, I'm not railing on you. I'm just telling what you are. You're like a yo-yo. You're up and down. There's no stability in your life. You're caving in the sin all the time. And what happens is because there's a famine in your life because you've never been spiritually disciplined and realized the only way God could ever discipline your life is by hearing the Word of God preached under a godly man like your pastor and other friends who will direct you and put you on the right path. But most of all, if you're unsaved, I would that you would see this book has been given most of all to point you to Jesus Christ. Acts 8:35, Jesus said, search the Scriptures. From them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The whole Word of God will point you in one direction. Point you to Jesus Christ. So He can save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray, and I do appreciate the attention you've given to the Word of God tonight. And I do not know your life, but I want you to be searching your own heart. Here's my question. I'm going to have them play the song softly and tenderly. Yeah. And while she's getting ready for the song, can you say, you know, Brother Jerry, there is no doubt in my mind. I recall a time when someone opened the Bible, they showed me from the Bible how I can come to Christ, or they explained to me from the Bible, and I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I do thank God for that person. That was the instrument that God used to open the Bible and point me to God's Son, Jesus Christ. I'm very grateful I know my Lord, Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand from a heart of gratitude to the Lord? Okay? All right, God bless you. They put your hands down. Now, I did not look again. And I don't look because I may be tempted to direct my words towards you. That's why I don't look. But perhaps you say, you know, I couldn't raise my hand. I've gone to church. I've been baptized. I'm a good person. I believe in God, but no, Jerry. No one's ever taken the Bible. No one's ever shown me from the Bible how I could come to Christ. You know what? You're in a state of famine and you don't even know it. You said, Jerry, I recognize I need Christ. I need to have someone point me to Jesus Christ from the Word of God. As she starts playing the song right now, they start playing softly. As she plays softly and tenderly at this time, you said, Jerry, would you include me in that prayer? If that's so, would you raise your hand with me right now and put it back down? Just don't hesitate, please, if you are not sure you're saved. Would you have enough courage in your heart to say, Brother Savinsky, include me in that prayer? I cannot force you. I can't prolong this invitation. As I go on to God's people, let me say this to you. Sometimes it's difficult for us to admit that we are in a famine, a lack of spiritual development, a lack of spiritual discipline. You say, Brother Jerry, I want you to pray because the Lord has deeply stirred my heart. I need to deal with this thing in my life. I need for God to help me to see. I've got to put my life under the authority of God's Word. And I need to be in this book. I need to be in the Word of God. I'm neglecting the Bible. I'm so busy. I'm neglecting the very thing that is my source of spiritual strength and energy and stamina and development. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand in the air if that's the case? Say yes. That's me. God bless you. All right? God bless you. As soon as you raise your hands, all right? The Lord bless you as well. And God bless you. God bless you, ladies and you men, teenagers. Anybody else? Okay. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Do your work by your blessed Spirit. If we give the invitation, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Would y'all turn to page 325. 325. Brother Mike's going to lead us in a moment in our song. Before he does, let me say this to you. If no one's ever taken the Bible and shown you from the Word of God how to come to Christ, I would encourage you to come get it settled tonight, okay? The Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. While you've got the opportunity, that's when you ought to respond. Then Christians, I hope and trust that you'll step out. If you want someone to go and pray with you, that can be arranged. Or else you want to kneel this front pew here or at this altar, please, would you come as we stand right now as Brother Mike leads us softly and tenderly, and would you make your way?